We shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. But we can read from verse 13. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, from verse 13. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The Lord Jesus loves his church. His people are his own. He loved them and gave himself for them. Today he cares for them. He watches over them. He looks after them. He supplies all their needs. He knows what they need. He knows what is best for them. He knows their dangers, and he ensures their safety. And he shows his people the greater and the lesser difficulties. And he shows them the obvious dangers and the more subtle dangers. And sometimes the subtle dangers, however small, are all the more dangerous for that very reason. They are subtle. They are insidious and likely to cause damage. And hence, the call to the church, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. There are small sins which we take little notice of. These sins may escape detection, and therefore they accumulate and cause much spiritual harm. Just like the foxes in the vineyard, they would eat up those grapes just as soon as they appear. And so, if we would bear fruit, we need to watch against sin. Small sins as well as big sins. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. We gather from the context that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking. When he says, O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, he is speaking to his people who are in secret places, and he desires them to come out into the open to confess his name. And he continues to speak in our text, verse 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And yet the words are in the plural, take us the foxes. So we conclude that it is the Lord Jesus and his people that concur with the need, recognizing the need to take the little things that cause harm and get rid of them. Take the foxes. Let us take the foxes. These are evils. These are sins that the church is in danger of and therefore needs to get rid of. Well, we find then that the Lord Jesus, while he requires his people to identify themselves with him, and indeed all who would be saved, all who desire to be saved, they're to come out on his side, identify themselves with Christ. He also, the Lord Jesus himself, identifies himself with his people. let us, he says, take the foxes. Take us the foxes. He cares for the church, and he helps the church in her duties to mortify sin, to kill sin, to slay sin, to get rid of the little foxes. Well, are we listening to the words of Christ? He is speaking, and are we listening? And after a communion season in our congregation, we believe the call is all the more necessary to take the little foxes, because being human and sinful as we are likely to think, well, we have done our duty. The tenseness of the communion is behind us. We can just relax now and go about our usual, and therefore we may not be so watchful as perhaps we were during the communion season, and hence the need, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Are we the people of Christ? If we are his people, we will concur with his requirement, with his call, to take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. We would say with people of old, when they joined forces with David, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse, we will fight for thee, we will fight with thee. We will go along with thee and fight against sin, fight against the enemies of our souls. Sin and Satan and the ungodly world, no matter how large the enemy is, no matter how small the enemy is, how obvious or how subtle, the sly foxes need to be taken. With the Lord's help, we want to consider first the vineyard of the church. The church is compared to a vineyard, the vines, or literally the vineyards. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines or the vineyards. For our vines or vineyards have tender grapes, the vineyard of the church. And secondly, the danger of little foxes. And we'll try to explain that as we proceed. The danger of little foxes. And thirdly, the direction to take the little foxes. The direction to take the little foxes. How can we do that? Well, we have these three points. The vineyard, the danger, the direction. The vineyard of the church, the danger of little foxes, the direction to take the little foxes. Well, the first of all, the vineyard. The church is like a vineyard. The Holy Scriptures compare the church to a vineyard. A vineyard, of course, is a large area where there are vines that grow the grapes. And the church is compared to a vineyard. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 7, we have our first reference in Scripture to a vineyard and the church. Chapter 5 and verse 1, now will I sing to my beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and so on. See how the Lord cares for his church. Just as a farmer plants a vineyard and gathers out all the stones and fertilizes the ground and plants it with the best seed and builds a tower and protects it and so on, the Lord Jesus establishes his church. He has founded it. He has called his people. He has set them apart. He provides their needs. He gives them the means of grace and provides for his people, the church. So the church is like a vineyard. And we're reminded of what the Lord Jesus himself said in John chapter 15 and verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, and his people receive strength from him to bear fruit to his glory. But now the second reference to a vineyard to symbolize the church is found in Psalm 80, the psalm that we sang. and verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted the vine. So the children of Israel were delivered from bondage in Egypt. God led them to the promised land, and he drove out the Canaanites as if they were stones in the garden that needed to be collected and cast out. And he planted the vine. He put his people there in the promised land. He prepared room for it, and the vine took deep root and filled the land. The people of Israel filled the land. Well, you know that the people of Israel, the congregation of Israel, made up the visible church. And the church today is simply the continuation of the church then. God established the church, and we're thinking at this moment of the visible church. He gave the Mosaic institutions. God provided the types, the sacrifices, ceremonies, gave the people the promises to lay hold of, the commandments to obey. And that was God establishing his church in the Old Testament. So we're thinking at this moment about the church in its visible aspect. You often hear us make the distinction between the invisible church and the visible church. And briefly, the invisible church consists of the whole number of God's elect, all of God's people, from the beginning of time to the end of time, that Christ gathers into one. They are his spouse, they are his body, they are the fullness of Christ, the whole number of God's elect. That is the invisible church, the church that we may not see. We don't see the grace that's inside the heart. It's invisible to us. That's partly why it is called the invisible church. As Calvin puts it, the church as God sees it. What man doesn't see, God sees. But now the visible church, or the church in its visible form, consists of all those throughout the world who profess the true religion and of their children. It is the kingdom of Christ, the household and family of God. And as the Confession of Faith goes on to say, out of which there is no ordinary possibility of salvation. And that is because Christ has given to his church, to the visible church, the ministry, the word of God, the ordinances, the means of grace, the sacraments, the government of the church. Christ has established his church here on earth, and he will always have a church to worship him according to his will. He said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So Christ has established his church. He has planted the vineyard. He has set it up. It's his church, his laws, his rules and precepts and commandments that are to be observed, as he has directed his disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And it is through the visible church that Christ calls his own people, the elect. They are within the visible church. The invisible church is within the visible church. And through the ministry and the call and the power of the Spirit, he gathers his elect together. Now, we belong, all of us here tonight, it would appear, to the visible church, professing the true religion, and our children. And the church, again, is compared to a vineyard. And we'll come to our text more specifically in a moment. But there's another reference in the New Testament wherein the Lord Jesus compares the church to a vineyard. And it's in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 33. And you are familiar with that parable. Chapter 21 and verse 33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out unto husbandmen, and went into a far country. So up to that point, it appears very much the same as the vineyard that we read of in Isaiah chapter 5. It was planted, it was hedged about, there was a winepress and a tower. But as the Savior goes on to speak, when the time of fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. But what happened? The husbandmen, the people in charge of the vineyard, they rejected the servants that were sent to collect the fruit. They didn't yield fruit. And that reminds us, going back to Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 5, and verse 2 in the middle, he made the wine press therein in that vineyard, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. So it didn't bring the right fruit. In other words, the Lord Jesus, the owner of the vineyard, the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, is looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit. And he's looking for fruit from all the members of his church. All visible members. They're all required to bear fruit. And there's a real danger of yielding only evil fruit. There's a real danger of yielding no good fruit. And there's a real need to examine why there may be no fruit. The Lord Jesus is looking for fruit. What can be the cause of the fact that there is no fruit? What can be the explanation? Well, perhaps one problem is the foxes. Hence the need to take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And we want to consider then, in the second place, the danger of little foxes. But before I do so, we need to remind ourselves of the absolute need of inquiring whether we belong only to the visible church and whether or not we belong to the invisible church. Those who have been baptized belong to the visible church. They have the seal of the covenant of grace upon them. They have in baptism those graces signified: regeneration, forgiveness of sins, adoption into the family of God. They have these blessings in the symbol. But the question is, do they have these blessings only in the symbol? In other words, those who have been baptized, they are duty-bound to seek the blessings not just in the symbol, but in the reality, that they would have the blessings indeed. They would have regeneration for sure, grace in their souls. They would have a new heart put within them. And that is what we remind you of, friends, to seek the grace of baptism, to seek what is revealed, what is conveyed, what the baptism is a means of grace for, to convey grace to the soul for those who believe, for those who receive. Are we desiring that grace, desiring forgiveness, adoption, eternal life, regeneration, the new birth? Are these blessings that we earnestly crave and seek after from God? And that, if so, that is a good sign. But don't stop seeking till you have found and you know for sure that grace belongs to you. That is, that God has given you his own grace and that Christ himself is precious to you. That you would know, as the Lord Jesus spoke to the woman of Samaria, that Christ is speaking to you. I that speak unto thee am he. Well then, the question is, do we belong only to the visible church, or do we belong to the invisible church, to Christ himself, vitally united to him. But let us consider the danger of the little foxes. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The vineyard is fragile. Our vines have tender grapes. They may be easily damaged. Now, literally, the word for grapes, tender grapes, is blossoming. The blossoming of grapes, or the beginning of grapes, the blossoming of grapes. Our vineyards are just in blossom. It's the very beginning stage. The grape has not even appeared. We have to be all the more careful because the little foxes will be in the vineyard and they'll be ready to snatch the grapes just as soon as they do appear. Therefore, we need to watch. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Now, we are likely to be concerned about grave dangers, large ills and evils. We read about, in Psalm 80, verse 13, about the wild boar causing disaster in the vineyard, wasting it, devouring it. The wild boar, dangerous animal. And the Pope in the time of Martin Luther called him, Martin Luther, a heretic, and compared Martin Luther to a wild boar entering the vineyard. They're very dangerous. Now, that was the designation of the Roman Catholic Church to those who disagreed with him. They were heretics. They were dangerous. They need to be burnt at the stake. But we may be concerned about the wild boar. And indeed, there are heretics, and they have been very dangerous to the church, denying the deity of Christ, saying he is not God, denying the Trinity, saying man does not need to be born again. He has enough, he's innocent already. He can save himself, and so on. Dangerous doctrines. But you see, we need to also beware of the little evils, as it were, the small dangers, not just the great wild beasts, the wild boar devouring the vineyard, but also the little foxes. And why? Because they're sly. They're subtle. They are small. They escape our notice. We don't detect them. They creep upon us unawares. Whereas on the other hand, if it was Satan's huge monstrosity of heresy and doctrine that is blasphemous, we would be alarmed. We would cry out to God for help. The wild boar has entered the flock. The wolves are ready to devour the sheep. We need help from God, who is able, Almighty, to deliver his people. If we were tempted by some gross sin to do some vile practice, we would cry to the Lord, help, deliver me from this temptation. But there's the little foxes. One after another, here they go, scurrying about. Are we concerned about them? So they're called little foxes, because they're sly. But also, they are ravenous. They devour the blossoms, the tender grapes, when they're just beginning to bud. And thereby they prevent much spiritual good. They may also be called foxes, because the evils that the foxes symbolize are vile, just like the dogs of the In the Old Testament times, were considered loathsome creatures, and in fact, the word is also used to describe jackals as well as foxes. It's hard for us to imagine little red foxes to be vile and loathsome creatures. But the jackal was a scavenger, ate everything, and they went about in packs, whereas the foxes themselves were solitary animals. But the jackals were loathsome, dirty animals, scavenging, eating the carcasses. They ate everything. And the dogs in general, for the Jew, were an animal that was unwanted. We have the analogy of the dog returning to its vomit. Loathsome creatures. We need to realize that sin, in any form, however small, however subtle, sin is loathsome, vile. We ought to hate it. We don't want anything to do with it. And so for these reasons, these little evils that sneak up upon the church, upon God's people, are compared to foxes or jackals, animals that belong to the family of dogs. And the jackals were apparently even more closely related to domestic dogs. Wild animals devouring the little grapes, the tender grapes. Now, there are some who definitely compare the foxes to false teachers in the church. Those people who may not be great heretics, but they teach false doctrine, they teach error, they do subtle damage to the church. And we have a reference to the false prophets in the Old Testament, comparing them to foxes. Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 3 says, "Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." They're declaring something they haven't got any word from God about. And verse 4, "O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert." That's what the false prophets were like. They were like foxes. They were sly. They were cunning. Verse 6 says, "They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm their word." Verse 9, "And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people." They need to be gotten rid of, in other words. "Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God." These are foxes that need to be expelled from the church. They need to be gotten rid of, sent out of the congregation. These false prophets must be taken and excommunicated, gotten rid of. False teachers. Timothy was warned by Paul to rebuke those who taught false doctrine, to dismiss them from communion in the church. He says about some, Hymenaeus and Philetus, "Their word will eat as doth a canker." The word of error is going to eat away any spiritual good in the church. Now, we may not be so alarmed when someone makes a mistake in the pulpit, but we should be more alarmed when that mistake is made again and again. When, for example, the preaching is giving the impression that regeneration is not so necessary, that you can believe by your own power, and venturing upon Arminianism and easy believism, something is very wrong. We should be alarmed. Take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Before long, the whole congregation is thinking they're converted when many are not. And that is very, very dangerous. And The Lord Jesus himself says that we should beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. They come preaching error, and you're not even aware of it, but by their fruits ye shall know them. Again, we have to look at the results. As John the Apostle says, try the spirits whether they are of God. Again, by the clear word of God, but also the fruits. So this is one way in which this passage can be interpreted. Take us the foxes, the false teachers who enter the church creeping in at unawares. Before long, they're infecting the whole church with erroneous teaching. But we want to look closer to home. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What about ourselves personally? Considering ourselves members of Christ's church, visibly and invisibly, all of us are required to bear fruit. If we don't bear fruit, we are not converted. All of us are to seek grace to take the foxes. And so, what little foxes have we ourselves been allowing to scurry about to the damage of the vineyard? Well, first of all, vain thoughts. These vain thoughts, David hated them. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Vain thoughts, distracting thoughts, worthless thoughts that enter our mind. Where do they come from? Probably from our own hearts most of the time. They cause spiritual harm. We should have good thoughts. We should be thinking upon God's word. But these vain thoughts, some of them evil thoughts, some of them very sinful thoughts, they enter our minds. They may even go unnoticed, undetected, or at least we don't make much of it. Before long, they accumulate. They form habits. They make scars upon our mind and wound our consciences because they increase and they develop and they become worse and they lead even to thoughts and actions if they are not mortified. Proud thoughts. Someone gets on well in prayer or reading. Covetous thoughts. If I could just have a pay raise, or I'd like to have that house or that car. Discontented thoughts. Why didn't this work out? Grumbling. Because things don't go our way. The thoughts, the vain thoughts, the evil thoughts, evil, unclean thoughts coming in and not alarming us as they should, but take us the foxes, the little foxes, those little sins. They gather force because there's so many prevalent and not dealt with. And then there are the little foxes of our words. What a multitude of words we utter. James the Apostle speaks of that when he warns the church about the tongue. In chapter 3 of his letter that he writes, in verse 5, how big is the tongue? Small. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Take us the little foxes, that little tongue. It's ready to ramble. It's ready to babble. Goes on and on, and in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The little foxes. James says that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, and so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. It's just a word we might say, But where did the word come from? From our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Words that we utter in haste, words of complaining, words that are excessive and immoderate, declaring how much we may enjoy something. The Lord Jesus says, by our words we shall be judged. Every idle word, take us the foxes. Then there are the actions, perhaps the actions that we don't perform, but even the little actions, the gestures that we make that might have the smell of the world. Well, the little foxes are innumerable, but this is just an example of what the little foxes may be in our own lives, in our own vineyard. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Remember, these are blossoms. These are grapes in the bud. And this text is very full of meaning, full of a variety of ways to apply it. We may, for a moment, apply it to the young convert who is impressionable and easily led by others who are established in the church. Young converts need to be careful, because the habits that we form early on may be solidified and strengthened over time and may continue with us for a lifetime. What do we take our standard from? Are we looking at members in the church who are just barely on board? And if they can be saved, well, I'm probably saved too. And if they can do that, well, I can do it too. Is that our attitude? Or are we taking our rule from the Word of God itself and the godly of the Bible and indeed the godly of the past, those who followed the footsteps of the flock, those who were clearly within the straight and narrow way and desired to glorify God in their lives? So, young converts, those who have just come to Christ, those who have perhaps just been converted, and again, relatively speaking, maybe you've been professing for 6 to 10 years. You still have many years, it may be. So, take your guide from the Word of God itself. And when we consider other converts, older ones, they are to look after the young. The young are tender. And it is our duty to set a good example before them. The Lord Jesus said, take heed, lest ye offend one of these little ones. And what if through our evil example, we lead a poor young convert astray, to backslide and to grow cold and indifferent to various truths and diligence and the means of grace, and we see not only our own grace decline, but our young friend beginning to backslide. Grace in the beginnings is tender, and then there's the great need of watchfulness. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. But then again, what about the unconverted who may be experiencing conviction of sin? And you may not know what stage you are at before God, but your desire is to be saved. You want to be delivered from hell, and the Holy Spirit is striving with you. But beware lest those convictions be driven away because of some sin that is cherished, some known evil practice is indulged and you then harden your heart, and the tender bud of conviction, perhaps even so near conversion, is then bitten off by an evil fox because of our own unwatchfulness. We were not watching. Take us the foxes. Oh, the little foxes caused so much damage. The words that we utter, our attitudes that we manifest. What are some ways in which the little foxes cause damage? Well, then there's the disturbing of the unity of the church. By our careless words and actions, we may just begin to cause a quarrel in the church. It may be on a small level, but it's still grievous. Take us the foxes, the little foxes. The Apostle Paul says, beware through your words and what you do and say. Beware lest ye devour one another. And then the little foxes may spoil our usefulness. It's just a little sin, you might say. Just a little indulgence, yes. But if it's a wise man who is doing it, and people see, well, there is so-and-so known for his learning and his godliness for the most part, but there he's indulging in something that's questionable, and then his usefulness diminishes. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly, it's just a little fox, but a little folly, him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Oh, we have to beware the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, that spoil our usefulness. And our evil example may lead others into sin. Oh, how we need to watch our words and our attitudes. We might infect others. We need to look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Yes, there's not only the danger of the absence of fruit, not bearing fruit, but there's the danger of bearing evil fruit and evil practice, letting those foxes run about and infecting the whole lump. Many people following a bad practice from our bad example. And there's the danger of these little foxes, these little sins, as we might call them, accumulating, increasing over time, and little sins becoming larger sins. And the apostle again says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? And allowing these little things to fester, these little sins not being dealt with may shut out communion with God, guilt upon the conscience after time goes by and not confessing and forsaking these sins. We harden our hearts and we are in danger of falling into greater sin and bringing a blot on the cause of Christ. And the greatest danger of all is that we end up not having proof at all that we are the Lord's people, not bearing any fruit. The foxes have had their ways. All the blossoms never turned out into grapes at all. The Lord Jesus saying, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. They are cut off, they are cast out, they are gathered up, and they are burned. The branches are burned. The vineyard is burned. The whole vineyard, the Lord Jesus says, because there's no fruit, is taken and given to someone else. The danger of the little foxes, is it not clear enough that we need to take the little foxes that spoil the vines? And how do we do that? Well, that's what we want to consider in the third place. The direction to take the little foxes. You're saying, well, I hear the danger. It is frightening to allow the little foxes, but lest I have no grapes in the vineyard. I have no fruit in my life. No, I'm not glorifying God. My very soul is in danger of proving to be an outcast, one who is going to be severed from the visible church itself and be on the left-hand side of Christ on the judgment day. This is frightening. But how then do I take the little foxes that I might bear fruit, that the tender grapes or the blossoms would indeed come out to be true grapes? Well, how do we bear fruit? The first answer is to recognize the danger. Recognize the danger. The danger and the need. That's the first step. Because half the problem is that we don't recognize that these little foxes are dangerous anyway. We don't see the little foxes. We don't see the harm they are causing. And we don't watch for them as we should, and then the damage results. So the second point is to watch for the foxes. First, recognize the danger and the need. And secondly, watch for the foxes. The Lord Jesus said, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." We need to see the foxes in order to catch them. And we need to beware the danger of thinking they're harmless. And that's what we just said. Recognize the danger and watch for them. You see, we might have a garden. We have tomato plants, grapes, and other vegetables growing. And we see the bugs, the insects in the garden. We might say, well, these little creatures don't look too harmful. I'll just leave them there. And then we come a few days later and we see the leaves eaten up on the plants, and we recognize, it's that one. He is the culprit. So, just because we may not at the moment see the danger and see the evils of those little things, little foxes, yet when we see the damage done, we will then take it seriously to watch for the little foxes, to take them, to catch them, to get rid of them. So no matter how small the evil is, the sin, or even the little thing, the little practice that's eating away of our spiritual life, deal with it. And we have heard about that just last Monday evening. Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. So even those lawful things, which may be done lawfully, yet if they are taking away from our time with God and the spiritual benefit we may have by communion with God, we're to recognize the danger. Seek grace, wisdom from God to know whether that lawful thing should be at least restricted in its time, perhaps even altogether gotten rid of. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. And when it comes to real sinful things, no matter how small, if they are really sin, and again, there is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not, multitude of sins, yet we detect them. We don't think nothing of them. Oh, it's just a little one. Like Lot, who said of this city, he wanted to spare it, it would not be burnt up with the others. It's just a little one, Zoar. Is it not a little one? We might be tempted to say of a sinful thing, well, it's just a little sin. Ah, but it may do great damage if it's indulged. So we should be like the psalmist who said, "I hate them, that is the enemies of my soul. I hate them with perfect hatred." We should be watchful. That is the second point. And the third point is examine ourselves. Look after the vineyard. How are the blossoms doing? What stage are they at? Our own souls, our own vineyard. Yes, ministers have the whole congregation that they oversee, they preach to, elders likewise. They're Sabbath school teachers, and they look after the children in Sabbath school. There are parents who are looking after their own children, and it's like their little vineyard. They have to examine them, but they have to take care of them, but there's a danger of being in charge of another vineyard and neglecting our own. Song of Solomon chapter 1 and verse 6. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. That was dangerous. What good will it be to have the charge of other vineyards when we don't look after our own in our own souls? So examine ourselves, and with the desire to bear fruit, seek to know our state. Are we bearing fruit? Are we dealing with those little foxes? Remember diligence, rising up early, and seeking the Lord before we go about our duties in the day, in our work, and so on. I'm looking at Song of Solomon chapter 7 and verse 12. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. So examine ourselves. What is the state of our hearts and lives? And fourthly, pray. Go to God himself to search you. As the psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Again, are we sincere? Do we really want to know what are those little foxes? Those little things that creep in and devour, chisel away, eat away at the good that we might have done or experienced. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, and pray for grace to resist those little sins, to mortify them, to put them to death, and pray that God would help you. Put your case in his hands. Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand his errors? The little foxes are running over the vineyard. I can hardly see any blossoms at all at this point, some poor soul may be saying. Well, go to God and say, cleanse thou me from secret faults. Pardon mine iniquity for thy name's sake. Pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And help me and cleanse me from these innumerable evils. And fifthly, resolve. Yes, you find in Scripture that determination to follow the will of God, to take the foxes. Notice the language, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Here's resolution. It is imperative. We must do this. Let us go forward. Let us watch them. Let us catch them. Let us destroy them. Let us examine our hearts. Let us pray for grace and resist those sins in the bud while they're at the beginning stages, those thoughts before they develop into words and actions, watching over our hearts and fighting the good fight of faith that begins right here in our souls. Sixth point, depend upon the Spirit. Resolve, but depend upon grace, because even that resolve comes from God. The apostle says in Romans chapter 8, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Again, bring your case, your condition, your concerns, and your desires to God, to the Holy Spirit, calling upon him. Remember, the Spirit is compared to wind and breath. The day of Pentecost, the wind filled the house, and that was a symbol or an indication of the power of the Spirit. And so we are to go to the Spirit for that power and call upon him. Song of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. That's what we need, the power of God, the wind, the almighty wind of the Spirit, to blow away the foxes, to blow away the evils, to blow away the pests that would devour and eat up the grapes in blossom. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The fruits are for him, not for the foxes. And finally, abide in Christ. That's the seventh direction for the overall direction. The overall direction is take us the foxes. It's a direction. We want to bear fruit. We have to take the foxes, but in order to bear fruit, in order to take the foxes and resist sin, we need Christ. We must abide in him. As he said himself, we are the branches. He's the vine. The life is in the vine. And the branch receives life from the vine to bear the fruit. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. He is the fountain of life. We go to him for that life and that grace to fight and resolve to go forward. To abide in Christ is to trust in him, depend upon his grace, and depend with thoughtfulness. Think about him. That his word would abide in us. Have his word in our hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Think about him, his power. He's the king. He's able to restrain and conquer all his and your enemies, child of God. And he is the head of the church. He cares about his vineyard. Will he not help you in that ongoing work? To put it this way, we are in it together. There's a mutual concurrence to get rid of those little evils, to throw out the stones, to catch the foxes, to slay the enemy, the enemies of our souls, no matter how great and obvious or small and subtle. The Lord Jesus loves his vineyard. And in Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 13, verse 3, we read, I, the Lord, do keep it. It's his church, his people, his vineyard. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. As Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Go to him, commit your case to him, that you might bear fruit, that you might get rid of the little foxes. Oh, the encouragements are many. And we gain assurance and we gain peace by watchfulness and ridding ourselves of the little foxes. Perhaps secret disciples would no longer be secret if they, like ourselves, we all should be more watchful, more ready to give up those little foxes. No matter how cute they may be, they're dangerous. They're harmful. Get rid of them. We may gain assurance and peace and communion by being more watchful against those little things that eat away our peace. And as Spurgeon puts it, drive away every sin that would keep Christ away. Drive away every sin that would keep Christ away, and ask for his grace to subdue every wandering thought, that he may be with you in undisturbed communion. Finally, before we close, what does this say about those who have not one thought of concern to get rid of any little fox, any little sin? No care about their attitudes, no care about even their practice. what does this text say about you? Does it not say that if you're a member of even the visible church at all, you're most definitely a withering branch and likely to be cut asunder, cast away, to be burned in hell? Oh, friend, be alarmed. Be awakened, sleeping sluggard, that you would cry to Christ, that he would awaken you, draw you, that you would be a living branch and bear fruit in his vineyard. It's his. And then, are you concerned about your soul? Are you troubled in your conscience and about all your sins, which are more than the hairs upon your head? Go to Jesus. Go to the owner of the vineyard himself. Don't go to the minister or elder. That doesn't happen very much anyway. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus. Go to Jesus, the owner of the vineyard, and cry to him and confide in him and pray with the true spouse of Christ, draw me, draw me. We will run after thee, and take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. May he bless his word. Let us pray.